This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 162 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the format of the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons, so we merely call it Where Fitz Left Off. Today, more one-of-a-kinds in local politics as the nation reaches toward its tolerance levels with the political conventions and the coming general election. Yesterday, we dealt primarily with individuals, the very few of them, who have been elected to Congress from Henderson County for this district, known at various times as the 11th or the 12th, depending on the outcome of census-taking and redistricting. We mentioned yesterday that Monroe Redden was the only Henderson County man ever to be state chairman of the Democratic Party and served as 6 years as head of the state executive committee after he had successfully managed the election campaign of Melville Broughton. But another Henderson County man, Brownlow Jackson, was also a state chairman, and again he was the only Henderson County man ever to serve as state chairman of the Republican Party, and he too could revel in the huge success he experienced. Bob Freeman remembers him as serving in 1928, the year in which Herbert Hoover won a landslide victory over Al Smith, the Democrat. Brownlow Jackson, after an illustrious career in community activities and politics, passed away at the age of 83 back in 1956. He had one son, Brownlow Jr., who died 2 years later in 1958, and another son, Jonathan W. Jackson, served an illustrious career on the North Carolina Superior Court. And his son, the grandson of Brownlow Jackson, is Frank Jackson, who practices law in Henderson County today. 1928, that was the first year that Norman Thomas ran as a third-party socialist candidate, and he would run in every presidential election for the next 20 years and never get one electoral vote. Although in his peak year, 884,000 Americans squandered a vote on Norman Thomas. People have a tendency to forget third-party would-be spoilers. Many remember such names as John Anderson, John Schmitz, George Wallace, Robert La Follette, A.L. Benson, and Eugene Debs. All those people were the Ross Perots of their day. Now, Don Guerin, here's a person who has two firsts going for him. He not only was minority leader of the legislature, he was the first man to make a race out of the contest for lieutenant governor from Henderson County in either party. This was back in 1968. The North Carolina Republican Party had only existed after the Roosevelt landslide in 1932, but now smelled a chance to give Democrat Bob Scott a run for his money for governor. The party had chosen Bob Scott over J. Melville Broughton, Jr., and a Reginald Hawkins. The GOP had selected Jim Gardner over Jack Stickley. When Don Guerin was recruited to run for lieutenant governor, there was no other apparent opposition. But a school teacher named Trosper Combs later announced he wanted to run, and he passed out thousands of combs with the inscription simply, Combs for Combs. And Pat Taylor, who was backed by the Democratic Party for lieutenant governor, also faced some primary opposition. Well, after the May primary, the battle settled down between the candidates, Bob Scott and Jim Gardner, and between Pat Taylor and Henderson County's Don Guerin. It did become a two-party race, with Richard Nixon defeating Hubert Humphrey and carrying North Carolina. Now, Bob Scott and Pat Taylor did win election for the Democrats, but Don Guerin, really unknown to any great degree outside of Henderson County, polled 228,000 votes to Taylor's 284,000 for lieutenant governor. And in Henderson County, Guerin was the top vote-getter, polling 9,805 votes to only 5,348 for Taylor. It was a big GOP year with Carol Wilkie defeating Harry Buchanan for state senate. And it did set the stage for the elections of 1972, when the first Republican governor would be elected in this century, James Holzhauser. It was the Nixon landslide over George McGovern that swept into office the wife of Carol Wilkie, a state senator, who was nicknamed Honeybee Wilkie, simply because of legislation sponsored by her to make the honeybee the state insect. Don Guerin deserved a lot more credit than he received. His primary election opponent was Trooper Combs, who had appeared out of the blue, and whose only charge was that Don Guerin was the hand-picked candidate of the party. Though Guerin made several speeches denying this, it really wasn't an issue. For years, Republicans had had to work desperately hard to just field a complete ticket. Most would-be office seekers were simply unwilling to be cannon fodder in what was sure to be a lost cause. But Jim Gardner himself would later run for and be elected to the office of lieutenant governor, and then be defeated for governor by Jim Hunt back in 1992. But back in that 1968 campaign, Gardner himself would tell you that Don Guerin was no token candidate. Anytime you can persuade 229,000 voters to cast a ballot in your behalf, when even as minority leader of the House, when he was holding that position, he was assigned a seat behind the posts, Don Guerin did all right by himself. This was his last big political foray. He's been content to practice law in Hendersonville ever since then. Another memory of this seventh child, of a seventh child lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.